from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support from listeners like you. And from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, opening in January 2011.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll get to listen to a new CD, Music for Memory, which benefits the Alzheimer's Association.
I'll get to find out what it's like to run with cheetahs at the zoo.
And I'll get a preview of the historic Meridian Park Home and Garden Tour. Plus, there's our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Mark Butterfield's Indie Acoustic Cafe series is known for bringing great musicians from all over the country to perform acoustic sets here in Indy. Now he's tackling a new project by producing a CD featuring Indiana musicians to raise money and awareness for the Indiana chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. The two-disc set, titled Music for Memory, will be released this month. Travis DiNicola talked with Mark and got a preview of the new CD.
I remember the days when life was easy and I didn't think too much. I remember the way that we felt when you walked into a room I lit up. I remember the way that we talked for hours, baby. I never wanted it to stop.
Mark, welcome back to Art of the Matter.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, last time you were in the studio, you were talking about the Indie Acoustic Cafe series, and I know that that's going to continue on, but right now, in the summer, you're kind of on hiatus with that, and you've got a whole nother project going on. And in fact, I think the last time you were in here, I was asking you about, you know, do you have any plans to produce a CD or anything? And you were kind of cagey about it then, but you're doing one now. And this is, and not only is it a great CD of local musicians, it's for a great cause. So tell me about it.
Well, I put together a two CD set compilation to benefit Alzheimer's. There's 26 different musicians from across the state of Indiana, covering all different genres of music. There's blues, jazz, pop, country, classical, folk, Americana, a little bit of everything for everyone.
Mm-hmm. All Indiana musicians, all original tunes?
They're all Indiana musicians, all original tunes. There are six songs on here that have not even been released yet. They're on future releases.
That's pretty cool.
For a compilation, that's really kind of very rare.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it worked
neat.
Out.
Now, are these aren't all musicians that you had worked with or had perform at the Acoustic Cafe series, right?
I mean, right. What's unusual about this is that I've never really done any work with Indiana musicians. Everything I do has been on the national level.
Yeah.
And when I got the idea to do a CD compilation for Alzheimer's, I wanted to do all Indiana musicians, run around the state of Indiana, which I do all the time anyway, and find musicians that you may not, of course, living in Indianapolis, you don't know who they are, you've never heard of them before. There's a lot of music going on in Bloomington, mm-hmm. you know, 60 miles south of here,
sure.
that people in Indianapolis are not aware of. I found a great jazz bass player out of Fort Wayne. I found a sax player out of Lafayette. Mm-hmm. A singer-songwriter out of Warsaw, Indiana. That is
just
phenomenal.
How did you find these guys? I mean, were you just going to clubs all over the state? Or?
Well, yeah, I one Saturday I took a drive up to Fort Wayne mm-hmm. at a music outlet store, and I just walked up the reception and said, "Hey, I want to find some musicians from this area, and okay. could you help me?" And the lady just started writing down names, and so I from that point I called them, and then I called a guy who. Owns a very cool jazz and blues label out of South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very helpful. And so, and on the website, I put a link to his label on there as well to help him out. And I contacted all these musicians and said, this is what I want to do. A lot of them said, well, yeah, I know who you are because I've either been to your shows, sure. I've heard about them. And I gave them the name of the Alzheimer's Foundation, said, call them.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of them did. So, when everybody found out this was the real deal and it was really going to happen, they were more than willing to jump on board.
So, again, the CD is a benefit, double CD is a benefit for Alzheimer's Foundation. Tell me how that came about.
Well, I lost my dad to Alzheimer's back in August of last year. And 20 years prior to that, I lost my grandfather to Alzheimer's. And so I was really kind of concerned that, this is probably my future. And so back in October of last year, I went to visit my dad's gravesite because they mounted a bronze plaque on his tombstone. And I was standing there and I thought, I got to do something, mm-hmm. So I just got the feeling at that point that I wanted to do a jazz or a music CD to benefit Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, I'm putting on the liner notes direct website contact information for all the musicians.
Okay.
So you can click on that and go to their website, learn more about them, and hopefully buy their music as well.
Sure.
So I think everybody benefits.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's a great way to find out about it. A lot of local and locally based, statewide musicians that maybe wouldn't have heard before, but again, it's for a good cause. And so, now when you contacted the Alzheimer's Foundation, or what did they say?
They really couldn't believe that I was going to do this.
Yeah.
Because to do a CD compilation, do any CD project,
mm-hmm.
takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've been working on this since October of last mm-hmm. year. And I met with the folks up at the Alzheimer's office. And we sit there and talk for probably over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is what I want to do. And this is my background. And they were pretty much kind of speechless. They sat there and said, yeah, let's do this. We're more than happy to do it. So it's kind of different than the usual golf outing benefit or things
sure.
like that or
yeah.
That people do.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, you're going to buy a CD, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
Have good music, and so you get something in return for
okay.
your money.
Very cool. Let's give me an intro to one of the tracks that you want to make sure that we get a chance to hear.
I think starting off on the first CD, the first cut is by a musician who lives up in Carmel. His name is Brad Hoyt, and the name of the song is called Martyr's Last Crossing. So it's kind of a jazzy, classical thing.
Yeah.
And he's a great player. I don't know where, to be honest, he's been hiding all this time because he's just very talented.
I want to remind people that we're listening to a CD that's been produced, a compilation of Indiana musicians. I'm talking with Mark Butterfield, who produced this. It's a benefit for Alzheimer's. Mark, so the CD is actually coming out, sort of like as we speak. So how can people get a copy? You've got a website for this?
Got a website. The name of the CD is called Music for Memory. And the website is www.musicforalzheimers.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's music for the number four.
The number four, okay.
Alzheimers.org. And you can get it through the PayPal there on the
mm-hmm.
website. And again, on the website, it has links to all the musicians that are on the CD. And, I've been lucky with guys like Mark Harris from Butler University has, basically gave me the studio to
mm-hmm.
put all this stuff together. Jim and Meg Ursay contributed to this project, so I've been real lucky
it's
with
very
people
cool.
jumping on board.
And again, it's music for the number four.
Alzheimer's.org is the website.
And we'll have a link to that on the Art of the Matter page on WFYI.org as well. Mark, now you're also going to be traveling a bit yourself this summer, right? Sort of helping to promote the CD?
Yes. Any Alzheimer's function around the state of Indiana, I will do my best to be at. I know in the fall, in September and October, they have 17 memory walks around the state, and I'm pretty much going to be at just about every one.
Let's tell me about another piece on the CD you want to make sure we get a chance to hear.
I think a good song would be one called Draw Me Back from Sarah Scarborough. She lives up in Noblesville, and she's another very, very talented musician that, again, she's... I don't know where she's been hiding, but she needs to come out with more music because she's very talented.
As you've been working on compiling the CD, meeting a lot of these musicians, you got to be thinking about planning for the next series of concerts that you're going to be producing as well. I mean, that's got to be in the back of your mind too, I bet.
Well, I've kind of put my series on hold. I've got shows booked in October and November, one show each month. I want to do a show in here in Indianapolis, and one in Lafayette, and one in Bloomington. With the musicians, some of the musicians that's on the CD. And again, all the money from that show.
Well, that's what I was wondering, like, if there might be, like, some, you know, chance to bring a couple of them together for a show.
That's what I'm going to try to work on. Yeah. I've pretty much got one in Bloomington already lined up in September.
Okay.
I'm going to get to busy and work on one for here in Indianapolis and one in Lafayette real soon. But I've kind of put my music series on hold, and I want to do this. I mean, I'm very serious about this, very committed to this project, and I'm already working on a second Alzheimer's CD.
Wow.
So, and again, it's going to be different. It's going to be music that, songs that are not on any previous recording and won't be on any future recording. So, again, it's going to be a different idea, a different concept.
And still thinking Indiana musicians?
All Indiana musicians.
Yeah. Let me have you introduce one more song. On CD, music for memory. That's
let's try on the second disc. The first song is a song called "Catch Your Breath" by David England, who is a Bloomington musician.
Mark, as you've been working on this project, I imagine, I mean, not only have you been learning a lot about some great Indiana musicians you didn't know about, but I would imagine you've also learned a lot about Alzheimer's through the course of it.
I have. I learned that music, to begin with, is good for people with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And before, I didn't know that. So that's how I come up with the title, Music for Memory. But, you know, Alzheimer's is something that if you get it, there's no hope. And the last year or so of your life is not pretty. And, you know, people, there's all kinds of fundraisers for things like cancer, which is a good thing. But people beat cancer every day. If you get Alzheimer's, you're not going to beat it.
Yeah. So far.
Yeah, so far. And let's hope that changes. But there's a lot of research being done, and I read things. I get things in the mail now that I never got before.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, people from organizations going, well, there's a lot of research being done for Alzheimer's and things, and this is what they found out so far. So, you know, I'm, like I say, I'm very committed to this, and for the next couple years, it's going to be about promoting Indiana musicians and raising money for Alzheimer's.
Mark Butterfield, thank you so much for coming to Art of the Matter and for making this CD.
Thank you very much.
Travis DiNicola with music promoter and producer Mark Butterfield. The two-disc CD, Music for Memory, will be released this month. Proceeds benefit the Indiana chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. For more information, visit musicforalzheimers.org, and I'm going to spell that for you. It's music, the numeral 4, Alzheimer's, Alzheimers.org, so musicforalzheimers.org, and you can order it there or get more information. We'll be playing tracks from the CD throughout our show today. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
It's in the cat family, and it purrs when it's resting, but it never roars. It sees rather than smells its prey, and it's the fastest animal on land. It is the mighty cheetah. And here's one more fact you should know. It's endangered. Cat lover Sharon Gamble invited Mara Giles to tell us about the new cheetah, the Race for Survival exhibit, which opened during Memorial Day weekend at the Indianapolis Zoo.
All right, so before we talk about why cheetahs are endangered, I just want to establish some facts about them. They're the fastest land animal, right?
Yes, they are the fastest land animal in the world, as far as we know.
And how fast can they go?
They can go about 0 to 70 in probably 3 seconds.
Man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Their bodies are just built different than any other animal. They're really lean, and they're a little bit aerodynamic.
Mm-hmm. And they've got great lung capacity too, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. They're able to reach these high speeds, but of course they do that to catch prey.
Right.
And once they do that, they have to rest for at least 30 minutes. I mean, their temperature, body temperature goes way up, and their respiratory rate goes way up, and really to rates that could be fatal if they don't rest. So a lot of times, even though they're so fast, they have to wait about 30 minutes.
So they're sprinters. They're not marathoners.
That's right. Definitely, yeah. Sprinters.
And where do they come from originally? Where were cheetahs first found?
Most of the cheetahs today are in Africa. The biggest population of them can be found in Namibia, where Dr. Lori Marker, who's the founder of the Cheetah Conservation Fund, works with the rest of the population there.
And cheetahs are endangered, and why is that?
They're extremely endangered, and the main reason is because, especially in Namibia, the cheetahs are looking for prey, and the easy prey is livestock, farmers' livestock in Africa. And so if a cheetah goes for livestock, the farmers, they need their livestock too. So they'll actually shoot and kill the cheetah to protect their livelihood. So that's how we're losing a lot of cheetahs. But Lori Marker has discovered a way to help keep that from happening, and that is one of the things that you can see at the new Indianapolis Zoo exhibit.
And you're going to give us a hint about that.
I certainly am. It's kind of a wild thing because it's actually a dog. It's a dog that does this. They're called Kangal dogs, and they're guard dogs. And so Lori Marker has been working to provide farmers in Africa with these dogs. What the dogs do is they will guard the livestock, and if the cheetahs, I mean, they're all about getting in and getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And if they hear a dog barking, they will stay away because they don't want confrontation. They just want their prey.
They need a meal.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they'll find a meal somewhere else. So it's great because it can stop, you know, something deadly from happening. So that's one way to keep the cheetahs alive. It seems so simple.
Yeah.
But at the Indianapolis Zoo now, we have two of these Kangol dogs. And so every day during the summer, we're going to be having chats with zookeepers and various animals, including these dogs, every hour that we're open. So every hour on the hour, you can come and you can meet one of these Kangol dogs, and they are enormous dogs. Right now, they are just not even a year old and already 90, 100 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. They're contenders.
Yes, definitely.
How many do you have?
We have five right now. We have three females and two males, and they're kept in two separate yards. But they, you know, can see each other, mm-hmm. and they can also see the elephants and the zebras, and so...
So it feels like home to them.
Yeah, it gives you a really nice... And when you visit the Indianapolis Zoo, you can feel like you are really in the African plains, and, you know, and that you're in a real savanna, and you can see all across. This exhibit has opened up the entire area, so it's really an experience now.
And I mentioned, we were chatting before I turned the microphones on, that there's a cheetah cam, and I keep
That's
tuning
right.
in. I haven't seen a cheetah yet, but I've seen an elephant in the distance, and it's, you know, it feels like you're there, not just there at the zoo, but there in this plains environment. So let's go back to the cheetahs and the herds for a second. Obviously, cheetahs are smart animals, and mm-hmm. they figured out, okay, here's an easy, reliable way to get my nutrition. Mm-hmm. I'll just hang out and stalk the herd.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Kangol dogs are going to chase them away. Is there enough natural prey that's not being maintained by a farmer then that they're going to find meals?
Yeah, really they shouldn't have any problem, but a cheetah can use an area larger than, we'll say, the loop of 465. They can, you know, they're used to using an area that size, larger than our city.
No wonder they're so lean and muscular.
Exactly.
They have a big range.
They do a lot of walking.
They are in the cat family.
Yes.
The big cat family.
Mm-hmm.
They don't roar, though.
They purr, I understand. They do. They purr, and they also chirp. And they make a few other noises, but...
Is that to communicate with each other, or is that, are they trying to scare prey, or what are they doing?
A little bit of both, I think. For attraction, though, they will chirp. Right now, one of the zookeepers has told me that one of our females lately has been chirping
uh-huh.
at one of the males,
uh-huh.
which means she likes him. So the chirp is kind of like an I like you sound.
A little flirtation going
yeah.
on out there.
Yeah.
Now, you're keeping the males and the females separate mm-hmm. because...
Most of the animals right now we keep males and females separate. Generally, a lot of animals like this are kind of solitary animals,
mm-hmm.
but we can keep these in groups because the three females are from the same litter, the two males are from the same litter.
Okay. But you wouldn't, because there are dedicated places elsewhere in zoos and other environments where cheetahs are being bred,
mm-hmm.
if this attraction develops, you're not going to try to get the male and the female that are attracted to one another together.
Well, you know, it's kind of undecided right now. The zoo participates in species survival plans with various different endangered animals. We don't participate in that with the cheetahs yet. I don't know that we will, but, you know, there, of course, is an opportunity where we could do that. There are places like in Cincinnati and other areas that have large breeding programs. And actually, our three females came from Cincinnati. But we have the largest exhibit of cheetahs. If you don't count breeding programs in zoos, we're the largest cheetah zoo exhibit in the country right now.
Cool. The international population of cheetahs is how many? Is it?
It's less than 12,000. It might be less than 10,000
wow.
right now. And Namibia is where where most of them are. It's less than 10,000 there.
That's scary.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, these cats are beautiful, and they're magnificent animals, and they're really important to our natural world. And, you know, that's one of the things we're trying to do is educate people about, you know, why they're important and what people can do to help protect them in the wild.
Sure. Here's an odd question.
Mm-hmm.
If these cheetahs were in the wild, they would be hunting prey. How do you feed them in the zoo?
We feed them mostly chunks of meat, chunks of tenderloin, very high quality beef. The two males actually are retired program animals from the Columbus Zoo, so our keepers can get close to them. Now, they are still wild animals, so they have to be careful.
Sure.
But they're used to people, the two male cheetahs. So our keepers can get close to them and feed them that way. The three females tend to be a little bit standoffish to humans, so they might just back up, so the keepers might, set the food out before the cheetahs go out, or they might, throw in some hunks of meat into one side of the exhibit.
I'm sure this is different for different animals, different species, will these cheetahs be always in a zoo, or is there some sense that they might eventually go back to, or maybe not back to because they were bred in captivity, would they be released ever?
No, it's really dangerous for most animals to be released back into the wild, and mainly that's because they're used to getting their meals.
Sure.
If we sent, any of our animals into the wild that, are used to being in human care, they might die because they wouldn't know how to get their meals.
Right.
And the two males are actually 7 years old, and cheetahs can live to be about 10. They're retired program animals, so they will stay with us for the duration.
And they're the elder wise men.
They are.
This group.
And you can tell because they're a little more calm than the three females.
Hmm. What's the strangest or most interesting behavior you've seen so far, now that you've had a chance to kind of be around them a little bit?
What I thought was kind of wild is that they, the keepers call it, they spit.
Really?
the females, if there's something they don't like, if they feel like they're being threatened, they will kind of, I call it more of a hiss, but it's kind of a spit, and they'll spit at you. Actually, if they feel that they're being threatened.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to understand one more thing about the cheetahs. Mm-hmm. Most animals, most large cats hunt by sense of smell, but cheetahs don't.
Cheetahs can see a very long way away. They have a very good sense of sight, and they're so fast. So if they see something far away, they could get there, in 3 seconds.
Well, maybe that's good to keep in mind. They might not be spitting at you. It might be something, many yards
away. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Sharon Gamble with Mara Giles of the Indianapolis Zoo, where you can see Cheetah, the race for survival. If you go to IndyZoo.com, you can learn about cheetah programming and even tune in to the Cheetah Cam to see if you can spot these elegant cats.
Yes, Travis.
Well, for our calendar today, we're actually going to listen to some more of the tracks from the Music for Memory CD that Mark Butterfield has put together. And in fact, we're going to listen to some Bill Langton and then also some Melissa Gallant, who are both
fabulous.
On there. Yeah, a little jazz and then followed by some piano. Okay. While we're doing our calendar that we call
What'll We Do?
There we go.
Love
what
it.
Do you got?
Well,
there's so much going on this week.
There is so much going on this week and in the near future, including... if you have kids who are off for the summer, but you still want to sneak a little education in, here's something totally worth putting kids or friends in the car and going to see. On July 2nd at 10 o'clock, rain or shine, outside at the Benjamin Harrison home, there is a naturalization ceremony for people who have qualified for U.S. citizenship. And it's followed by free tours of the President's Mansion for new citizens, their family members, and guests. So that's July 2nd at 10 o'clock. No better way to explain what democracy is than to go see people who have
embrace this country.
That's actually a very cool and very special and also very serious thing. Mm-hmm. Or you could just go to Benjamin Harrison Home if you're listening to us on Friday night and watch the croquet tournament that takes place Saturday morning.
Are you participating this year?
I am. I'm participating again. So if you're listening to our show on Saturday afternoon, the tournament is over, but I'm sure I did
very well.
Why
you're wearing all white
exactly.
to get in the mood right now.
Yeah, but you know what? There's also, in addition to croquet on Saturday, there are so many festivals and fairs. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give sort of a quick rundown this weekend so you don't forget. You've got the Italian Street Festival, mm-hmm. also the Indy Pride Parade and Festival, plus there's the Talbot Street Fair, which is going on. We did an interview about that last week.
We did.
And then you've got Let's Meet PBS Kids in the Park through FYI. You've got tons of all these festivals
Something
and fairs.
Something for everybody in your family.
And on top of that, there's the Independent Music and Art Festival going on at the Harrison. I mean, what more do you need to do this weekend?
I know. You're going to be just so tired by the end of this weekend.
Hey, I did want to mention one cool thing about over at Talbot Street, Brother Juniper's, which was a favorite of many, many people, used to be a restaurant on Mass Avenue. Mm-hmm. They're actually, even though they haven't been around for a while, they're having a one-time food vendor booth at Talbot Street Art Fair. So
cool.
If you miss Brother Juniper's, go check out Talbot Street.
Trip down memory lane. Love that. Hey, if you act or know somebody who does, pay attention. Civic Theater will be conducting auditions for Annie on Monday, June 28th and Tuesday, June 29th in the evening at the Marion University Campus Theater, where Civic Theater is still in residence. On each of the available audition days, actors 16 and under will be seen from 4:30 to 6:30, and adult actors will be seen from 6:30 to 8. And you'd better believe that the sun will come out tomorrow, so you can find tomorrow. Yeah, you sing along in the safety of your own car. Just drive carefully. Ryan Kocharczyk will be directing it, and Todd Hawks will provide musical direction, and Michael Worsell will provide choreography. So great creative team, and you can contact civictheater.org to find out more about auditions for Annie.
There you are. And that little dog, too.
I know. I was just picturing all of that. And Daddy
Sandy, that's right. Uh-huh. Hey, there's a concert that we actually mentioned on our calendar last month that it ended up getting postponed. It got moved. And this is a concert featuring the music of Dvorak. It's a piano quintet, and it features piano and violin and cello, including Paulina Umansky. And it is taking place up at Meridian Music off of Old Meridian Street in Carmel. And it is going to be at 4 p.m. on Sunday, June 20th. It was a concert that was supposed to take place in May, and it's been moved, rescheduled. Great way to celebrate Father's Day. So again, the concert is on Sunday, June 20th at 4 p.m. at Meridian Music.
Excellent. Speaking of fathers, the production of David Auburn's Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award-winning play, Proof, would be a great way to enjoy your dad. It's on stage right now at the Theater Within and runs through June 26th. And here's the story. It's the eve of her 25th birthday, and Catherine, who is a troubled young woman, she spent years caring for her brilliant but unstable father, who's an amazing mathematician. He's just died, and she has to deal with her own volatile emotions and the arrival of her estranged sister and the attentions of a former student of her father who hopes to find valuable work in the papers that Dad left behind. It's really a lot about what we owe to our parents and what we may or may not inherit from them. Brilliant, brilliant play. It's Proof by David Auburn on stage at the Theater Within. If you go to thechurchwithin.com, you can find out about the Theater Within.
All the stuff that Book Mamas has going on. Book Mamas is a great little independent bookstore in the Irvington neighborhood, and they have events, it seems like, almost every night. In fact, if you're listening to us on Friday night on Are the Matter, then right now the Mad Hatter Poet Society is having an open mic that is at the Underground 9 studio that Book Mamas is involved in. But they also do book clubs, and then things like Writers Speak Volumes coming up on Thursday, June 24th, 7 p.m. It's a group where writers are welcome to come and share their works. in a very supportive setting. You can go to Book Mamas to get more information about all the different events that they do at this independent bookstore.
Very good. And if you're a gardener, boy, you must be enjoying this fabulous spring, almost summer run of great weather we've had. Here is a new event at the Historic Ambassador House and Heritage Gardens in Here is a new event at the Historic Ambassador House and Heritage Gardens, which is in Fishers. It's on Saturday, June 19th, from 9 to 2. And it is, I'm sorry, from 9 to 4. And it is a self-guided garden tour featuring an amazing assortment of plants. There's also a plant sale that will go on from 9 to 1 the same day. And there's a ribbon cutting for a new hosta garden at the Historic Ambassador House and Heritage Gardens. The venue, the Historic Ambassador House and Heritage Gardens, is a nonprofit organization which was saved just moments before a scheduled demolition in 1996. It was actually rescued by the Fishers Historic Preservation Commission and what was then called Historic Landmarks Foundation, and the whole venue was relocated. The house was relocated. And just very cool to see the architecture and the complimentary gardens. So, again, that's June 19th at the Historic Ambassador House and Heritage Gardens in Fishers.
Very cool. Hey, if you remember the Indianapolis City Ballet, who put on that incredible ballet performance last August, it was absolutely amazing. Well, they're doing something new. It's not a ballet performance they're doing right now. They've organized a retrospective of dance photography by Roy Round, renowned.
I saw some of those photos online.
Absolutely beautiful
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and his collection includes he's photographed the Queen of England as well as tons of rock stars and film stars and stuff. But he's really known for his work in ballet. He's photographed Baryshnikov and Nureyev and Kirkland and Balanchine, and I mean all types of great dancers that people know. Anyway, there's a big special sort of opening that's going on Saturday, and that is $50 a person. It's taking place over at the Basile Galleries at the Heron School of Art. But then the show is open to the public starting on June 14th, and it runs through July 17th. So if you've missed the big champagne and grand opening, then definitely check it out when the galleries open from the 14th to the 17th. Roy Round's photographs presented by the Indianapolis City Ballet.
Very good. Lots more to do, but I think we're out of time already. How does that happen?
We are. There's so much going on. Just a last quick reminder. Tons of fairs and festivals. Independent Music and Art Festival going on Saturday all day long at the Harrison from noon until 8 p.m. Lots of great bands, as well as the Indie Arts Handicraft Exchange. Go check that out, too.
Go work up an appetite and then go to Italian Street Fest.
Oh, sounds like fun. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back with more things to do next week on
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Located within Mapleton Fall Creek, Historic Meridian Park, my neighborhood, is bounded by Pennsylvania Street and Washington Boulevard from 30th to 34th Streets, and it's one of Indianapolis's preeminent early 20th century neighborhoods. On June 26th and 27th, you can visit selected homes and gardens during the Historic Meridian Park Home and Garden Tour, which has the theme Front Porches, Reflecting and Connecting. Travis DiNicola spoke with Cassie Melman-Reese, the chair of the event, to find out more.
Really excited about this home tour. I know it's the first time that your neighborhood has had one in about 4 years or so, and I know everyone up there is excited, especially Sharon Gamble, who lives up there as well. But before we get into details about the home and garden tour, tell me a bit about the Historic Meridian Park neighborhood.
Yes, Historic Meridian Park is still probably one of the best-kept secrets in Indianapolis. It's becoming more well-known, but still some folks don't know where it is. It's at 30th to 34th, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania to Washington Boulevard.
Okay.
And it's a pocket of mostly old arts and crafts homes. located just northeast of the Children's Museum.
Northeast of the Children's Museum, and sort of doesn't St. Richard's sort of like anchor that
a
bit?
Yes, St. Richard's in the neighborhood as well as Trinity Episcopal Church.
Sure, okay. And it's a really neat neighborhood, sort of tucked in there, and of course close to downtown and close to a lot of other things. But what do you know about the history of the neighborhood as far as sort of how it evolved or how it started? I mean, anything about that? I mean, because there are some great architecture represented up there.
Yeah, so what used to be one of the more popular suburbs, if believe mm-hmm. it or not, in
sure.
Indianapolis, because back in the day before the invention of the automobile, it was considered a suburb, and it was right up there with Woodruff Place and mm-hmm. Irvington in popularity.
Sure.
And then with the invention of the automobile, people migrated from the city to get away from the noise and the pollution
mm-hmm.
and go live into what they consider the suburbs, and one of those was Historic Meridian Park.
Okay.
Now, the neighborhood is known for its arts and crafts, or craftsman-style architecture,
mm-hmm.
which was a reaction to the opulence of the Victorian movement.
Okay.
So if you think about the...
A little bit toned down.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit more practical,
exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah. So Victorian architecture is known to be a little over the top. And then if you think about the Industrial Revolution, it was also a reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
So arts and crafts architecture is known for its clean lines, simplicity, and open spaces versus the little rooms and parlors of the Victorian era.
And the homes in the Meridian Park neighborhood, not only are they historically significant and interesting, but they've also been really well kept or especially well restored of late, it seems.
One of the things that folks are most surprised about when they go on these tours is just how well kept these homes are.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the homes have been taken down to the studs and restored, and the architectural integrity abounds. So because of that, the neighborhood's on the National Register of Historic Places.
Okay.
And we even have a home on tour that is a residence that is on tour of the National Register of Historic Places.
Very cool. Now, the event itself, the tour, as we mentioned, is coming up on June 26th and 27th. And it's a tour of some of the selected homes as well as gardens. And we'll get into sort of want to go through, you know, a bit of what's on the tour in a moment. But I love the theme that you have for this. Front porches, reflecting and connecting. I was reading on your Facebook page, I think it was, about the idea of sort of selecting the front porch theme because so many of the residents of the neighborhood have met each other by hanging out on their front porches when people walk around. And it's such a, you know, sort of a old-fashioned communal way of getting to know each other.
That's exactly right. Many of our tours have focused on the architectural elements inside mm-hmm. the homes. And one of the things people like most about our tour is hanging out on the front porches of these homes.
Yeah.
I was actually on tour in the 2006 tour and had a backlog of traffic on the front porch because folks were hanging out on the front porch.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful day, and they were sitting there watching people go by and looking at the greenery. So we wanted to do something a little different this year. If you think about it, if a front porch serves to a neighborhood just like a kitchen does to a home, it becomes a gathering place where people come and meet and greet one another.
Sure.
And interestingly enough, we asked a lot of our residents what they do with their front porch, and I might have gotten 25 different answers, but
mm-hmm.
it's clustered probably in three different categories, which is more living space.
Mm-hmm.
So they might use it as a reading room. I use it as an outdoor office when I'm working from home. Maybe an outdoor play place if you don't want to hear the noise of children. But also a good place to sit and reflect,
mm-hmm.
really think things over,
sure.
as in our theme, reflecting and connecting. And then a place to greet guests and entertain.
Now, am I understanding right that there will be some porches that are open for people just to sort of visit the porch even though the home isn't open?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Like porch stops or something, right?
That's right. Because so, most of our homes in our neighborhood have front porches, and it's one of the design elements of the home and living in a historic neighborhood. So our tour is a walking tour.
Mm-hmm.
Since our neighborhood is relatively small, and folks can stop along the way at these what we call welcoming porches,
okay.
and sit and relax with neighbors and chat and have a drink of water and just have a rest going
from
home
fun.
To home.
That's very cool. That's a great element to add to the tour.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the houses and gardens that have been selected for the tour, Cassie.
Sure. Let me start with the houses. One thing to know is that we have 8 houses on tour this year, which is quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
5 of 8 houses have been taken down to the studs and restored.
Okay.
Now, this is an interesting fact because you would never know it going into these homes.
Sure.
Because, as I said earlier, many of the architectural features remained intact. So we've got an apartment complex that Carmer Watson purchased and restored.
Mm-hmm.
That's called the Esplanade, and it's had several owners, and each time it was bought over the years, it was never finished. And Carmer Watson was the first company to come in and actually finish the project.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful restoration, and John Carmer, one of the owners, will have his apartment, which is just loaded with historic charm, on tour. Then we have a home that is owned by Jess Lenore that is at the beginning of renovation,
mm-hmm.
a diamond in the rough, if you will.
Okay.
And that's a really unique Dutch colonial home, very unique to the neighborhood. And we thought it would be important for people to see the before and
mm-hmm.
the after.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
People need to be able to see the possibilities and a renovation in its infancy. Then we've got a home, the Nidus O'Brien home, which is owned by City County Commissioner Jackie Nidus and her husband, Michael O'Brien, who owns Pruny Partners. That home, which is very, very large, used to be a business.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for a very large home that could they could house, you know, 2 guests to 200 guests.
I remember seeing some photos of their home featured in the Star maybe a year ago or so, and just really great interior to it. They've done a great job with it.
Yes, wonderful interior, and just recently, over the last couple months, they've done a wonderful exterior renovation as well.
Great.
So that'll be mm-hmm. something that's quite new to many people. Probably the home with the most modern decor
mm-hmm.
Belongs to Hope Tribble, and one of her most interesting stories is about taking 7 layers of paint off her fireplace to restore the historic tiles, and
wow.
her home is loaded with natural sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the home of Ben Solomon, which is an Italianate revival. That's also a very unique architecture for our neighborhood, and his home is just loaded with turn-of-the-century antiques, which
okay.
people will really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got the home of State Senator Tom Weiss, who wanted to be close to his daughter and grandchildren, so
mm-hmm.
he lives right across the street. And actually, he said his front porch he uses to spy on his grandchildren. And he had
right.
always wanted to live in a stone house, so you'll see some of the natural use of stone carried through in his home.
Huh.
But probably the most known house in the neighborhood is the Tuckaway House.
Oh, sure.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and that is on every tour. And
mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know about the history of Tuckaway, it was owned by Nellie and George Meyer, who George Meyer was an internationally renowned fashion designer, and his wife Nellie was well known in her own right for being a palmist to the celebrities. So
yeah,
we've had the
current owner of that house on the show on Art of the Matter a couple times.
Okay, Ken Keane, yes,
yeah.
who bought the house in 1972.
Great,
so
great
when you
stories
go in that,
and history there.
It's wonderful. When you go in the house, it's like stepping back into time, and there are pictures everywhere of celebrities whose palms Nellie read, and you'll see the signatures of Joan Crawford and Walt Disney and George Gershwin.
So very
very
cool.
interesting home. So let's talk about some of the gardens
mm-hmm.
on tour. WFYI's very own Sharon Gamble,
right.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
Her garden is on tour. Her home is actually called Hydrangea House, which she named herself. She has a love of alliteration and hydrangeas. So the first thing you'll see when you come to her house are these very large, majestic hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm. I've heard lots about them.
Yes. Can't miss them. And then, as a matter of fact, sometimes when I tell people where I live, I say, look for the house north of me with the large hydrangeas. And then, and her house, too, has this very interesting yin and yang motif design in the eaves. So her garden has was styled after this Asian feel
mm-hmm.
that you see in this motif. So she'll tell you that the garden's in its infancy, but I'll let everybody else be the judge because it looks like a finished work of art to me. Then there's the garden of the Patricks, And it's funny because Jeff Patrick has a story about how he was told by someone that you can bury a lot of your worries in the dirt.
So
he wanted to do just that, and he had ample opportunity to do that because when he bought the house, it was just filled with rubbish and weeds and clutter. So there were no gardens to speak of, but now it's a beautiful oasis around the house. And he wanted to live in the city, but be surrounded by beautiful greenery. Then there's thinking about the other gardens on tour. There's Annie Owen and David Bartley, who live in a very interesting part of historic Meridian Park that's called the Washington Courtyard.
Okay.
And the Washington Courtyard, for people who don't know what that is one of the first and few pedestrian courtyards in the city. So the homes were all built by the same builder.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
And they face one another.
Mm-hmm.
And each home is kind of a mirror image floor plan.
Hmm.
So they're kind of sister homes, but they're not twins because they all have unique architectural features.
Great. Okay.
So he lives on the courtyard, and the courtyard is known for having very avid gardeners, and David and Annie are one of them. And they're both writers, and their gardens were based after many of their plantings were based after classic literature.
Hmm.
And the backyard is a certified wildlife sanctuary.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've heard about that house. Great. Okay. Yeah.
And last but not least, Trinity Cloister Garden is also on tour, and that'll serve as the starting place of the tour, and people can also buy tickets over there.
Where people should park as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Trinity has ample parking, so since it is a walking tour, folks don't need to park along the streets. They can park and walk, and again, there'll be walking porches along the way where people can take a rest, too, if they get tired from the tour.
Travis DiNicola with Cassie Melman-Reese, chair of the Historic Meridian Park Home and Garden Tour, which takes place on June 26th and 27th. There'll be vintage cars on display, food available for purchase, and live music. Please note, Tuckaway is only open on Sunday, but your Saturday ticket does get you into Tuckaway on Sunday. And for more information, visit their Facebook page or go to historicmeridianpark.org. Again, historicmeridianpark.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 when I get a preview of the new Art and Nature Park at the IMA.
I'll talk with jazz pianist Gary Walters about his new solo CD.
And I'll find out what's going on this summer at Garfield Park. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 for The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support from listeners like you and from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, opening in January 2011. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.